questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
Very good evening to you, my dear friends, and welcome to the Youth Perspective right here on your favorite Christian radio station. Welcome to Adventist World Radio SID Media. Every Friday, we make sure we get to study, and this evening, we're ensuring we're doing exactly that. Studying together God's Word, hoping to understand the matters that are on the table. And tonight, we have a very important conversation for you, my dear friend, which we are hoping you will stick around for. Thank you for being part of the evening. And as we study, we might have guests, we might have a conversation we're having around this round table, but we're hoping that you would pull a chair and join us in conversation. Yes, be part of this discussion as we study together, hoping that you can share your thoughts, give us your input, ask your questions, give us some counsel and some direction as we go through this together. It's the Youth Perspective on Mission. And this is what we're saying. We're here to hear real, unfiltered voices, especially from the young people themselves. But if you're young at heart, we'll still take you even tonight. We want to hear how the young people are navigating the world, how they are dealing with real life issues. That's what this conversation is about. In this segment, we're diving into the recently held Global Youth Day and, of course, the subsequent Youth Week of Prayer, asking big questions. What it's really about? Is it relevant? Is it something that the young people are looking for? Or is it a program written by old people, hoping that the young people are going to be interested in this and they must just take it? We're going to find out tonight. Are the young people truly connecting with its purpose? So join us as we discuss together, and don't be left out. From outreach to personal faith, from community impact to personal spiritual growth, today's conversation is all about understanding whether this movement, this mission that we're saying we're part of, is just an event or is it a lifestyle? Stay with us as we go through this together. Let's then take time to invite our guests. But before we do that, I want to invite you to be part of the conversation. We are broadcasting live on Adventist World Radio SID Media. So be part of this discussion as we study together. You too, like I said, can be part of the conversation. And this is how you do it. Talk to us on +27 73 470 3520. The number again is +27 73 470 3520, and let's have a conversation together as I invite our guests to introduce themselves. Good evening to you, gentlemen. Welcome to the platform. I'm going to start off by, we've got Tando. Tando, good evening. Maybe introduce yourself to our listeners as we jump into tonight's conversation.
Eric, and good evening to everyone. My name is Tando Mgome Zulu, and I'm a baptized member of the Gautama SDA Church.
And of course, a young person, I hope. I promised our listeners young people, so I I don't want to be bringing other voices here. No, thank you so much, Tando, and welcome to the program. We also have Mr. Ian really joining us as well tonight. Ian, good evening to you and welcome.
Evening, and happy Sabbath, thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure, my brother. Do introduce yourself.
I don't know, you already introduced me, but it's fine. I'm Brother Ian Mdloli, a baptized member from Thurstonville East SDA Church. A young person.
Yes. Yeah, please, underscore, young person. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, man, for coming through. Truly appreciate you being here. And to both of you, really, we're hoping that tonight will be productive. We're hoping that tonight will answer some questions. We're hoping tonight we will open some hearts, open some eyes, and hopefully invite somebody to be part of the youth mission that we are always, always talking about. So thank you once again for coming through. I'm going to ask that we maybe start off with a prayer, if that's okay. If Tando, you don't mind praying with us, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe please close our eyes and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us throughout the whole week and for keeping us safe, for protecting us from all the snares of Satan. Thank you that you've been with us and you've guided us, Ngosi. Forgive us where we have sinned against you. Hide your face from our sins and please blot out all our iniquities. Help us to live our lives in a way that pleases you. Help us to commit all our decision-making processes into your hands so that we may live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Help us, as we are about to discuss, fill us with the indwelling Spirit of truth and help us to say things that will not only glorify you, but touch the hearts of those who are listening.
Amen.
This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for a potent prayer there. And I pray that we see the fruits of it as we go through this evening. Thank you once again, gents, for coming through. And we appreciate you. It's a pity we couldn't get a hold of a lady guest to join us this evening, but I think we'll be able to do some justice this evening, and hoping that we will get some comments coming through from the ladies as well as we study together. Now, we were speaking about this in our introduction, talking about Global Youth Day and maybe the Global Youth Week as well. As I understand it, the youth all around the world in the Seventh-day Adventist movement are talking youth things and are talking mission this week. Maybe for somebody who might not be aware what this Global Youth Week is about, how would you introduce them to that? How would you make them aware of that? And maybe Ian, you can start on this one, and maybe Tando, if you want to add as well after Ian has spoken, you can come through.
All right, thank you for such an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The way I explain to someone who may ask me, like most people, they did ask on last week when we had this Global Youth Day, they were like, what's happening with this thing? And I was like, nah, one thing about our church was built as early when the church was growing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of young people. Like young people, most of our pioneers that we so much admire today, if we look at church heritage, it was young people doing the work. So in this way of this Global Youth Day, we are still extending that spiritual heritage. You go to young people, you can still do something. It's not just the old people who can focus on the mission,
mm-hmm.
but young as we are, we can focus on the mission. So in simple terms, the Global Youth Day is whereby we encouraging our young people to do something for Christ. Not that it's all about the old people. No. God also does believe on the young people, the fresh blood, because, we still have the energy. Well, imagine when you ask someone very old to go and do the things that we were doing on the Global Youth Day, they'll tell you, hey, shy. It's child, man, just cats. So, our church is trying to make our young people to be involved. I call it young people. Total member involvement, because we involve the young people to do something outside the outside church, reaching out to the community. Let me not extend it.
No, I think that's sufficient, and I like that, and I think that's very well put. To say, coming from a movement that's built by young people, it needs to be reminded that the young people are actually at the center of this mission. Tando, do you have anything to add to that, or are you good?
I think he covered most of the points,
uh-huh.
but I would also like to add that as much as it is like for the church, like the youth inside the church, but it's also to appeal to youth outside of the church as well.
Okay.
Because like we are able to relate to our peers and we understand some of the struggles they are going through as well. So we are able to meet them in common ground and show them that it is possible as a young person to follow Christ with everything that's going around in the world right now.
Mm, It is possible as a young person to follow Christ despite what is happening. I like this idea you're bringing across, young people ministering to young people makes a difference and goes above and beyond what anybody else ministering to young people can actually achieve. I'm reminded here of a quotation I'm seeing coming through from this book here. It's a devotional titled In Heavenly Places, page 217. It reads as follows. With such an army of workers as our youth, rightly trained, might furnish, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the whole world, right? How soon might the end come, the end of suffering, the end of sorrow and sin? How soon, in place of a possession here, with its blight of sin and pain, our children might receive their inheritance where the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. It's like, you know what? We see the work that the elderly are doing, but it's the army of youth that can really finish the work. And I'm like, yeah, no, I hear you guys. I hear you guys. Now, You after such a definition of what the Youth Week is about, the Global Youth Week, all four corners of the world celebrating the same message at the same time, I want to find out from you guys personally in your own spaces, what did you get to do for GYD? Tando, what did you get to do in your space for GYD? Ian, what did you get to do in your space as well?
With my church, we went to orphanage home, and we spent an entire Sabbath day there. We were ministering to those young people, young children, telling them that, like, regardless of like the circumstance they find themselves in, God has not forgotten them. And we went through the verse in Isaiah that says, "Even though a mother may forget her sucking child, God will not forget thee."
Okay.
Yeah, so it was about ministering to those young children and reminding them that, sure, the world will not always be fair, but that does not mean God is not watching or God is ignoring them. He still cares for them. And as much as He made it possible for them to exist, He still has a plan for their lives, whether they are aware of it or not.
I like that. I like that. So you went through to an orphanage. On your side, Ian?
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity once again. On my side, we just visited the Aranda Church. It's just a community. We're distributing some sandwiches and some literature. Not only that, then we managed to just clean the area. Around the zone, around Dobsonville, where we're just making sure to pick up papers and do all those things. But the bottom line was just to give them the sandwiches, telling them. And it was so nice because we did manage to, like, one thing I've learned about young people, if a young person sees a young person doing something, it awakes something on that person. If you see a young person doing it, but when you see an old person doing it, you'll be like, very intabantabada. But when you see a young person doing it, you become motivated to do it as well, because that's how we manage to get them. So like, since we're doing this, we'll be closing this week. We are starting a week of prayer of the youth. Would you not mind to come when we conclude? And they're like, wow, really? Okay, definitely we'll come. So we just shared some literature, sandwiches, then we made sure we'd say the place around Dobsonville is just clean.
Okay. Thank you so much for those. You kind of touched what I was about to ask, actually, especially after the answer that was given by Tando as well, to say, you know, in our initial conversation, initial question, you guys answered and said youth ministry or the youth week is to give an opportunity to young people to minister to other young people. And I wanted to find out to say, how many young people did you minister to? Because as I heard the answer, the one was saying we spoke to an orphanage. I'm not too sure how old the children were there, but usually in orphanages we find that it's the younger kids, which will be mostly falling under children ministries. And then in the community, it's all ages. Yeah, you might find young people, but it's mostly anybody and everybody who is in that community. And I wanted to find out the relevance now of the statement we pulled in the first, in the beginning. Youth ministries get an opportunity during Global Youth Week to minister to young people, to say, is that what we did? When you look at the projects or the outreach opportunities and impacts that you guys undertook in? I don't know. What's your take?
Could you please repeat the question again?
No, I was just saying to find out the relevance of that initial statement we pulled to say Global Youth Week gives an opportunity to young people to minister to other young people. To say, was that fulfilled when you look at the work that you guys undertook on Global Youth Day?
To be honest, I cannot say it was fulfilled, because I think ministry is a continuous thing.
Okay.
So doing it, yeah, if it's just a one day based thing, then we cannot necessarily call it a ministry, because we have to keep going back to these people, reminding them, because sure, maybe on that day their spirits were uplifted, that like they had these visitors who care for them on that day, but during the week, or like as months go and weeks, they are going to face some struggles, and if we do not make time to go and visit them during those tough times, then we are not necessarily ministering to them, because we need to show that, like, we cannot only say Christ will be there for them, whereas they don't see Christ physically. Mm-hmm. But since we are the Church of Christ, we have to be there as like representatives of Christ through their tough times as well. So I believe it would be only, I believe it would be called a ministry if it's a continuous visitation thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the target audience, would you say it was young people that you guys spoke to? I mean, you spoke of an orphanage. Was it children ministries target, or was it youth ministries target? Were you saying there were young people there, or was it children really?
It was mostly children. There were a few, like around 3 or 4 young people, but it was mostly children,
Because that's where my question was based more on, to say, are we ministering to young people? Are we fulfilling our mission as the youth ministries to preach to other young people and reach out to our peers, like you were saying earlier on, when our target is, like you're saying, it's mostly children?
Oh, okay. And then in that sense, we didn't necessarily reach our intended target audience. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a right or wrong answer, though. But I was just wondering, you know, because we say young people are reaching out to young people, but I'm wanting to find out, when do we actually get to do that? I don't know, Ian, on your side, what would you say? Did you guys think about the opportunity to reach to young people, or you just said, what can we do? Let's go out and do something in the community. Ian left the building. Okay, we'll see if you can kind of get him back on the line there. You know, you mentioned something, or actually it was Ian who mentioned something that I wanted to find a follow-up on, to say Global Youth Day has a long list of ideas, suggestions of what you can do on the day, right? And they say you can do this, do that. And you guys mentioned some of them: visit an orphanage, visit a community center, impact a soup, give a soup kitchen, and so forth. Ian mentioned something that they also did, cleaned up the neighborhood, right? And that's some of the suggestions of what can be done on Global Youth Day as you impact the community. Question is, how comfortable are you with some of those suggestions? You know, paint a neighbor's house, cut their lawn, and this is happening on the Sabbath.
The Sabbath part is tricky, but then in that sense, I kind of think it might not be considered work, because I believe like the distinction would be that, like, because Christ also performed, not necessarily miracles, but like some sort of tasks on Sabbath. But it was not work, only because most of those things were done out of service. So I believe if, like, the intention behind it was to serve others, then that's where the distinction lies between what kind of work can mm-hmm. be done on the Sabbath and what is considered like work that should be done during the week and not on mm-hmm. Sabbath. So mm-hmm. I think it's like the intention behind why we're doing this. Are we doing this out of service to show Christ's love for those who have not yet come to know him personally? Or are we doing this just to mark up, like, check off a list? So, I think there's an intention behind it.
So you're saying if my week is quite packed and my neighbor needs help with gardening or something like that, I can go and dig his garden on Sabbath because it's service for others. That kind of mentality is what must drive us?
No.
How? Why not Tando? Okay.
No, I'm not changing. I'm saying like when you put it in that sense, it's kind of like because in a sense, like the fourth commandment commands us to do all our work in 6 days.
Okay.
So you have to find time. If like you promise that neighbor to cut the laundry, I mean the lawn during the week,
mm-hmm.
you have to like make time to cut it during the week. Because if you do it on Sabbath, then the intention is not necessarily considered service anymore, because like you could have done that specific task on a regular day of the week, but then you didn't do it because you were prioritizing your own personal stuff. Mm-hmm. Not to say mm-hmm. like you shouldn't, yeah, but like,
well, what's the difference with this though? Isn't this the same thing where we could have then said, no, we'll come on Friday, we'll have GYD on a Friday so that we can do this, or on a Tuesday or on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to find what the difference is.
Yeah. That's really a good question. I think,
mm-hmm.
I don't know actually, but like I think the difference would be that as you said, it's activities we plan to do on that specific day.
Yeah,
I think that would make the, because like the day is about like serving the community, like that specific day is particularly serving the community. So I think the intention behind it is to do some sort of service on that specific day, and the specific day happens to be the Sabbath.
Mm.
So you see, we went and approached that day already knowing that like this day is specifically set out for service to the community. But if you do it on your own personal stuff and keep pushing back, like keep pushing it, like procrastinating and saying, no, I'll do the neighbor's lawn on Sabbath, then that's not you delaying service. It's rather you
planning the service for that particular day.
Yes, and like that's not how it's supposed to be done. Because mm-hmm. like, yeah, you shouldn't procrastinate on something and like die on the Sabbath and call it service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. I'm just trying to have it make sense in my mind. I'm trying to understand it. But thank you so much for that. And I think I liked how you also addressed earlier on the idea that the Global Youth Day is not meant to be a once-off event. Mm. And that's the good intention. But here's a question I want to follow up that thinking with. Is mm-hmm. that what is the case, though? I'm sure that you might have attended one or two or a couple of them. Is that what you always do, that you then come through? What is the follow-up plan to your guys' visit to the orphanage? What's going to happen after that? Is that it? Is there a plan? Or you're hoping that, no, maybe we'll come again here, but maybe there isn't really a practical approach to this?
So the youth leaders, they did speak to us, and like prior, like the week before we went to the orphanage, like they did speak about like follow up visits to the orphanage, because this orphanage is an orphanage we went to, I think, 2 or 3 years back.
Okay.
And then it had to close because of COVID-19 and all of that stuff. And yeah, now that we've like it began operating again, we we made sure that, like, they're trying to keep in, like, the relationship between the church and that specific orphanage, like, intact. So mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. are planning on other successive visits to the orphanage. Yeah.
All right. Fascinating. No, thank you. I think I like that idea to say there's already plans to say we'll do follow-ups and we'll pick up again the relationships that we are more visible and a bit more intentional with the approach to that. Welcome back, Ian. We'd lost you there for a bit. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, not to worry. I wanted to pose a question which I had asked Thando, and it came across because of something you mentioned, how you guys, as part of your community impact, you went out and you cleaned the park, right? And I was wanting to find out, you know, how comfortable are you guys with doing some of these things that sometimes happen on Global Youth Day? I mean, some of the suggestions, paint a house, do a garden, and you know, whatever it is. And it's quite strenuous, some of the work there, and kind of borders on infringing. In fact, if not directly infringes on the Sabbath, how comfortable are you in that, in taking some of these things?
And can you repeat again?
I don't know what's happening. I need
to... is it better if I call you direct? Let me call you direct.
Oh, it's fine now. It's fine now. I can hear you clear.
Okay. We was asking to say, how comfortable are you with doing some of this, these suggestions that come through for Global Youth Day, which come through with some strenuous work? I mean, clean up. Yeah. Park, you know, pick up papers, dig a garden for your neighbor, cut their lawn, paint their house on Sabbath, and you're like, hey, okay, is this still kosher?
Yeah, to be quite honest, because even when we are about to do that Global Day, some of us, we're not in agreement with what they want us to do, because if you read very carefully, they say it's good to do good on Sabbath, but in case of someone who is sick. Yeah. Well, now when you're just waking, it's another story. It's a lot. It was not comfortable, to be honest with you. Some of us were not comfortable because it's like we are working. No one is sick there. And then they'll try and justify people. No, the community is sick, so we need to reach out to the community. But to be honest, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable.
Oh, but the community is sick.
it's dirty, so we need to clean. Okay. Yeah, okay. So they were like, okay, can't you not clean on Sunday, or let's shift it from Sabbath to try and fight against it? But then it all comes back to us, because from the office they will want reports. What did you actually do? We want it on Saturday, not on Sunday. So it's a tricky thing. I don't want to lie. It's a tricky thing.
All right. No, thank you for that. What was this year's theme, by the way?
Communion in action.
Communion in action. What does that mean? What's that all about?
I love the way I got to understand it. And it was funny for us, because we had the Global Youth Day, and it was also a Holy Communion on that Sabbath.
Okay.
So the way I understood it, if you understand communion, the best explanation of communion is Revelation 3. Verse 20, where Jesus Christ is saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. Whosoever hear my voice, let him open the door so that I can sit with him and eat with him. So we are communing with Jesus. We are engaging with Jesus. So Jesus is actually wants to extend that relationship or that experience that he's having with us, that may we extend it to the community now. That's why it's communion in action. Now we're reaching out to people, communing with people. That's how I got to understand it.
Fascinating. I like that. I like that. Communing with people, so communion with in action. Okay. Here's where I might be want to get a follow up, and maybe Thando, you could come in with this one to say, we pointed out some issues that maybe people are but having some questions, or maybe sometimes the approach we have. Maybe before I come to you, I want to maybe hear Ian's reflections on the event. Right, you fed the community, you cleaned up the park. Is there any follow up on that, or was that it for your quota is done for the year?
Aha, you see, I love that question. In fact, this is a great question. Thank you for such a question.
Okay.
You know, what I realized, besides when it's Global Youth Day, I learned something from last year, actually.
Okay.
That's why this thing won't happen, though, because I learned a lesson from last year. Last year when we had a crusade at church, the Impact Gauteng, yeah, where many people were invited for the crusade, but we were so slow when it comes to following up those people. We make it as an event. I love how Tando was explaining. Ministry is not something you do it once. Mm-hmm. Ministry is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You cannot afford to live without it, you know. Mm-hmm. So from last year, we learned with Norman, you must do follow-ups. It's not just an event. And most of us, we are stuck with the day. It's Global Youth Day. Then we end there. No. Yes, we did it on that day, but it must extend, must move beyond that day. So in terms of follow-up, we were able to come up with the strategy. For an example, we were dealing with a lot of people. Most, God bless us, it was young people. We were able, when you're engaging with people, as we are feeding them snacks, they will ask more questions. We were working hand in hand with some people like the interest coordinator. Mm-hmm. Some people who are able to see people who are interested, the young people who are interested. It was very easy because we were able to gather their details. Then we were able to get their contacts. Then we were able just to open a WhatsApp group where we still communicate with them. And we even extended, because this is where I love it. We said we also offer Bible studies during the week. So we are continue engaging with those people. We started from last week. Even this week, we managed to do it. So that's how I learned the lesson to follow up. If we don't follow up, then we're going to mess things around.
I like that. I like that. No, thank you so much for that follow-up indeed. Tando, I was wanting to say, what can be done better to make this idea of Global Youth Day, of young people reaching out to other young people, of the Youth Week as a whole, a bit more successful than perhaps what we have been doing or what has happened in the past?
Okay, thanks for the question, Derek. Mm-hmm. I believe it all begins with the individuals that are going out first. We can set up a program and have like a to-do list of things we have to do on that specific day. If our mentality is not aligned with what we have to do, then we'll just do it as a task that we have to complete just to check off the list. So I believe it should be more of mentoring us as young people into how we engage with others in terms of evangelism, because we don't only encounter people on Global Youth Day. We encounter people at school, everywhere, and like sometimes when they ask us about Christ. And we have, like, sometimes we may have answers and sometimes we don't. But most importantly, it's how we engage with those people. Because sometimes we, you know, when someone knows the truth and then he's discussing something with someone who's not so much enlightened to the truth, and like the person who knows the truth thinks they're right, and now it turns to a debate because like they know they're right and they're trying to prove a point. Mm-hmm. So now the thing is, I think it's our approach, how we approach these people. We shouldn't have this mentality that I'm trying to prove this person right, but we should be in a mindset where we're trying to stand, we should put ourselves in their shoes, try to see why they believe in whatever perspective they believe in, and see how we can work around that perspective and show them the truth in a way that doesn't offend them, but also doesn't like make us sugarcoat anything.
So you're calling for training perhaps from the adults or the seniors or the people more in charge of evangelism, so that you can then be more effective in the work that you need to do.
Yes, because even if we do the services and all of the other stuff, it's meaningless if those people don't end up coming to the church. Okay, not meaningless. It's still a good deed. But then the end goal is for those people maybe not necessarily to join the church, but to be connected to Christ. Mm. So it's how we approach them, because we don't only evangelize with our words, but with our deeds as well. So if we keep that in mind, even the way we serve others, it'll reflect Christ's character. And I think that's like the most important thing, because like when people, even in the New Testament, when people saw Christ doing miracles or whatever, like it wasn't just the miracles that they were amazed at, but like his personality as well. Mm-hmm. Like the things he would say and the way he would conduct himself, it would touch people's heart. Like this we've seen prophets, we've seen people who talk about God, but there's something different about this one particular person. So it's when we get to really align our mentality with what the day actually is, I think that's when it would be most effective. But until then, mostly it's for most of us currently right now, it's more of like an excursion, a trip on Saturday. Yeah.
And that's I think is the absolute worst. I want to take that point you're raising, this idea of a need for it being more effective and to be trained and so forth, and pair it with something that Ian mentioned earlier on. And maybe Ian, come in and let's hear your perspective. Tando mentioned something that's very critical here. For us to be more effective, we need to be trained. And earlier on, I think we were mentioning that in one of the comments. I shared a book quotation here on how it's the army of youth, rightly trained. And I want to hear from your perspective to say, earlier on, you made mention that this church, the movement, the Advent movement, was founded by young people, people who were in their 70s, 20s, and so forth. To say, what role or what are we waiting on as young people when we ask for training? Are we saying we can't do it ourselves? What is the disconnect? Can we then blame the adults to say, but it's not us, it's the adults who didn't equip us, when we are saying the church is founded by young people? What is it that we're waiting for? Can we do this by ourselves, or can we only go when we are been equipped by the adults? I don't know. I'm just trying to find out where we stand as young people, based on your statement.
Okay, yeah. You just took what you see as you were asking me this question. The quotation that you quoted just came back to me. Mm-hmm. I love how Message to Young People put it. It says, I love the part that it says, rightly trained.
Yeah.
I love it. So our young people, I just want to add on what Tando was saying. We really need to be equipped, rightly finished, rightly developed, ready for the mission of God. But I love how I began a corner, Usiso Mhlophe. The work, when you read the controversy, I think it's chapter 4, mm-hmm. when it speaks about the wildernesses. I love how I was shocked when that's when I started to love working as a young person, when I read that chapter in Great Controversy, when how young people were used by God to do great and mighty things. I mean, like, to preserve the Bible that we have today, young people had a part to play. If young people had a part to play at the beginning, during the Middle Ages, definitely even towards the end of time, our young people, they have a part to play. But God is looking for people whose hearts are recipient to the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in as much as we can be educated, but God is more worried about a heart that is recipient to the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's number one. Our young people need to have hearts that are recipient to the power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, it's not going to be the young person doing the work, but it's God doing it through them.
Okay.
So we just need to have hearts that are recipients to the power of the Holy Spirit. And this part of training, it's something that is cool in their corner. Part of training, you know, most of our young people, we are convicted. Conviction is there. But conviction is not enough. Conviction must be supported with commitment.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm convicted. I want to work. But now I gini lapo. Support it with commitment. Young people, we need to learn how to be committed. In as much as we are committed to other stuff, but when it comes to God, siba slow man. And I gini lapo even on commitment. I call it three C's. It's conviction, commitment. Then the last one that I love, it's cooperation. Yeah, because I think we don't just wait. Cooperation as services, you must cooperate. But when we want to reach out to other people, so yeah, just summarizing, with our young people, they need to be trained because we need to answer the question why. Once we understand why are we doing this, why then? Why do we have to do this? Why don't you do something else? Once you understand that, I'm telling you the truth. Our young people would be good to do great stuff. Cause I don't wanna lie. God was able to use young people. Imagine most of us, we like this, the miracle that Jesus Christ did where he fed over 5,000 people. But people forget to go see if that boy was not there. Yes, God could have made other means, but we forget that there was a young boy who had the lunch and God was able to use the lunch of that boy to feed about 5,000 people. So in as much as young people, they are recipients to the power of the Holy Spirit, God will do great and mighty things through us. He just wants us to be willing to be used by him.
Yeah, yeah, profound. That is so, so true. If you just joined us, we're having a conversation right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are chatting to our young people. We've got Thando Ngomezulu on the line. We also have Ian Mjuli, who are sharing with us their experience and their thoughts on young people in mission. And we're using a base as the Global Youth Day and the week of prayer that ensued after that. So do join us if you want to share your thoughts, your comments with us. We want to hear from you. Do talk to us on +27 73 470 3520. The number again is +27 73 470 3520. I want to go on and maybe just include in our discussion this evening the understanding that comes again from this particular topic, the issue of relevance, right? When you look at the Global Youth Day, the theme Communion in Action, and you're saying you kind of caught it and you were excited about it. You know, you look at the week of prayer as a whole, under that same theme, and it started out on the 21st, right? It started on that Sabbath evening and it's running through, to the 28th. And I'm just trying to find out, you know, the topics that are there as well. Sometimes it's even prescribed readings that you must just go through. How relevant is this thing? Is it speaking to anybody? Is it effective? What's been your guys' experience? And I'm hoping that you've been attending in your own spaces. How's that working out? Maybe, Thando, you can come through.
I wasn't able to attend the
Week of prayer
services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was held, like, our church decided to hold the week of prayer at, like, home styles.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, I came back from school, like, late. Oh, so okay. I wasn't able to attend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But did you manage to get a hold of the material?
Oh, no, they didn't do any recordings, unfortunately.
Is that? They didn't send out the prescribed readings because there's like a pack of what the week of prayer is going to be about. Ian, on your side, did you manage to get anything?
Me as well, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. I don't know.
Hey, you guys. But anyway, okay, let's do this. So the week of prayer had a pack that comes with it, right? Coming right from the Global Youth Day, going on to the week of prayer itself under the same theme, Communion in Christ, and it's talking matters that are around this idea of what the Global Youth Week is about and what the theme of Communion in Action was trying to drive at, right? So that's what it was about. And when you look at that, I just want to, maybe let me see if I can quickly go through the some of the topics here for you, just to give you an idea of what I'm trying to bring across to you. So this is what was in mind when they gave the week of prayer. Starting in from I'm just going to go through the titles, right? And I want what I want to find out from you guys is, when you look at these topics, and what I want to hear is your responses. Perhaps you might not have gone through the material and gone deeper into it, but just hearing the topic itself, how practical is it? I don't know if that's the word, but how practical is that for you? But also, how relevant is it as a young person being called to discuss these things? Are you finding it as something that would be effective? Are you finding it as something that would be speaking to where you guys are currently in today, right? So that's what I want to just maybe hear from you. Let me see if I can just get the topic here. I don't know why it's not wanting to open up. I had already gotten these earlier on. Apologies for that. Okay, there we go. So it says this, yeah, right? Coming in from the beginning, right? These are the topics. Come on, what happened now? Apologies, man. I'm not too sure why it's refusing now to be open. It's like it heard that I wanted to ask you these questions. Number one was discipleship in action, right? Discipleship in action. Then from there on, it speaks about prayer in action, right? So from discipleship, we go to prayer. Then from prayer in action, the third topic that comes from this week of prayer is God's revelation in action. Then from revelation, it also addresses, the Sabbath in action, right? So you talk about prayer, you talk about revelation, you talk about the Sabbath also in action. And then it goes on talking about these themes, the public campus life, you talk about Sabbath school, you name it. I wanted to find out these kind of things. Are these what your core issues are? I mean, if you talk about gathering the youth at a round table globally, and then you present these as the key matters, what would be your response to that? Are they speaking to you guys?
Yes, I would say most of them are really relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it's disciple.
Discipleship prayer, in action, prayer in action, Sabbath. Revelation in action,
Okay, yeah, and Sabbath in action, mm-hmm. Campus public life, and the other one was Sabbath school.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure about the Sabbath school one, but like the other ones, yeah, those ones, yeah.
I hope your Sabbath school superintendent is not listening, Tandra.
Yeah. No, but like the other topics are really, they are really relevant to us rather as the youth.
Okay.
Because as like if we don't spend time in prayer, then we won't get like we can read the Bible, but then there's something that prayer does,
mm-hmm.
like to our spiritual growth that we cannot like. We cannot only lean on the Bible and say like, I read the Bible, I don't have to pray. Like
yeah.
both like work. Yes, excuse me. Both work hand in hand. So you should read the Bible and then you should pray. So like prayer is very, very much important.
Mm.
And yeah, mostly we like as young people, we don't like spending much time like in prayer seasons or whatever. We like to keep like our prayers short because like we always think we have something to do, but then during the time we spend time on our phones or whatever. Prayer is very, very much important.
So you think this encouragement then, was necessary? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the discipleship one is also very, very important because,
Okay.
Especially because we attend school because like I'm thinking when we hear the word disciples, we're thinking about like verbal, like auditory evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
But being a disciple is also like how you behave in school. Because like how my classmates see me should really reflect Christ's character.
True.
So yeah, discipleship one was also very important, which links to the campus. public life. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to find out as well, and maybe let me bring it in as well to say, you know, talking still on that relevant theme. So usually it starts with the global youth. The young people are outside in the communities, impacting their communities. This year's theme, Communion in Action. And then you then have the homecoming Sabbath. That's what they call it, at least from the GYD space, right? Homecoming Sabbath. What does it even mean? What's the relevance of this approach? What's homecoming? What are we coming home to? Ian, I don't know. Are you having Youth Day this coming Sabbath at your church?
Yeah. According to my understanding, how I love this, we end with homecoming. Homecoming, the tag, it gives the definition.
Okay.
We are coming home. The question is, where were you?
Yeah. Who is coming home? We were here already, Mo. So what do you mean we are coming home?
But now, when you understand it in a deep sense, the tag suggests that now we are coming back home, mm-hmm. because a week before, you have been doing an outreach, going out there to seek or to be a fisher of men. So now we are coming back home with those fish. That's how I get to understand it. Most people celebrating their homecoming, but they did not even go out.
So what? You're saying on GYD is where we were supposed to invite people who then come on this Sabbath year? Or when is the going out supposed to be happening?
The going out, if there is homecoming, the homecoming it means now we are coming back home. Meaning a week before, on that Global Youth Day, when we go out there doing outreach, whatever that we are doing, we were inviting people so that now when we go back home, we bring some of those people home, according to how I understand it.
So your Sabbath that you're having now, is it based on this idea of homecoming, or is it just a youth day?
It is a homecoming. We are doing it at church. We are bringing back those, because when we were distributing those things, we're inviting people. But next week, we are concluding our week of prayer. So will you come and join us? So now they are coming back, homecoming.
Okay, fascinating. On your side, Tando, you have also the same sentiments about this homecoming idea. Oh, Tando vanished now. Uh-huh. Today's network, Mara. I like that idea. I like that idea, and thank you for that expression, and thank you for teaching us as well, schooling us to say it's coming home. All right, Tando. I was asking Tando, on your side, are you also having the same sentiments? Are you having homecoming Sabbath as well?
Ours is not this week. Tomorrow we're having the Holy Communion.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think they postponed it to the next Sabbath.
Yeah, but the question still stands.
The homecoming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, because ours isn't like our outreach program was based on the orphanage. So if they can get the orphanage kids to join us, then it might be homecoming in a sense. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a comment here saying the homecoming Sabbath is a special Seventh-day Adventist or church service, often organized as a church family reunion. It welcomes back former members, pastors, and community members for fellowship, for worship, and for special music and a communal meal. These events frequently feature a guest minister celebrating the church's heritage and community. Okay, fascinating. So it also speaks about, you were speaking, Ian, earlier on about this idea of a home coming back home, which means people had left. Is this, have you gone out also to invite those who had left, those who had backslidden?
Yes, as well. People, especially our young people that we have been meeting a lot, we also invited them to come back home.
I think this is quite an important service, if I'm hearing well, and the definitions that you are receiving and what has been sent through here, to say this is quite practical and quite something that's needed. We must have like 5 or 6 homecomings in a year then, where we are inviting, because like when you mentioned that people who are missing, how often do we go searching for them, right? I'm just trying to think, how often do we go and say, hey, we haven't seen so and so in a long time, let's go look for them and invite them back, you know, we haven't seen so-and-so. Have we called them? Have we sent them a message? Have we said, hey, there's a fine, you're shy to come back, but here's a big event that you will be able to hide behind other people coming back? I don't know. How often do we do this? Is it something we should do often, or once a year is okay on this particular day?
To be honest, once a year, it's not enough. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year, but most of the time, maybe we'll do it twice a year,
okay,
which is not even good. It's not good. We need to, like the Thando was saying, this mm-hmm. is a ministry. It's not a one-day thing. This is supposed to be a daily communion. Now, when they get back, those people, visit them, those people, go to them, invite them. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for a specific reason. But, yeah.
Yeah, this is something that is necessary. I really, really applaud this kind of thinking. And perhaps maybe it's not something we're used to, the word homecoming from our side, but I think when you get to understand, like you said, Ian, the definition, like it says, it's in the word homecoming, coming back home, we really need to be doing these more. When you look at our young people, Thando, young people seem disconnected. Some, they feel out of place. They feel like the church doesn't understand them. They feel like they're not their needs are not met by the church as a whole. And I wanted to find out from your perspective, these kind of programs like we just had, GYD, the Week of Prayer as a whole, how engaged are young people in your guys' circles? Were they supportive? Do they come out in their numbers? Sometimes you find that young people only want to turn up when it's time to go have a social. If you call it social at night, that starts at 9 p.m. Hi, you know it's going to be packed. But you say, come, guys, let's go to the community outreach or go to a hospital visit at 2 p.m. They're nowhere to be found. How was the response in your guys' churches and your guys' spaces regarding the turnout, be it at GYD, or during the week?
So in my church, we did show up, like most of the youth, mm-hmm. even those who we haven't seen in a while.
Wow.
Okay. Like they like showing up for like church excursions. And as I said, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, to them, it's mostly like church trips and stuff like that. But then I think looking for fulfillment from the church specifically is where most of us as young people tend to go wrong. Because
mm-hmm.
I also experienced some of this until like I decided to actually start reading my Bible by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted mm-hmm. to find out. Yeah, I just wanted to find out, okay, sure, we go to church on Saturday. It's in the Bible, but what is Adventism really? So I did like my own personal study.
Okay.
And when I had questions, I went back to like there's an elder I like having a study with at my church.
Okay.
So that reading the Bible more opened me to more questions, and having that like urgency to like go back to church on Saturday just to find these answers. I think that's what led me to see that like, oh, now I'm starting to like church even more because I'm doing my own study, and when I get stuck, maybe someone at church on Saturday will help me find the answers. So it's that thing, that like that urgency to want to seek an understanding of like, why am I here? What is God's purpose for me?
Mm-hmm.
That thing, yeah, that mindset is what helps one shift from feeling unfulfilled in church. Because sure, we cannot blame our parents in a sense for not being fulfilled at church.
Okay.
Because there are also people in themselves, they also have like their own things to deal with.
Mm.
So if I'm coming to church expecting so and so to give me fulfillment, then like there's 0% chance of me getting that fulfillment. But if I'm going there with the understanding that like I'm searching for Christ, I want to know who he is, that's when church becomes more interesting. Because like I've noticed that like most preaching is basically one message over and over again. But then that's not tedious once you start realizing the importance behind those repetitive messages.
Okay.
It's showing you that like Christ is only needs one thing from us: repentance.
Mm.
And hearing that over and over again makes one think how much serious this is to him, Christ, for us to repent. But like before having this mind shift, for me, like preaching was like, I'm going to church on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to do. My parents won't allow me to do my own stuff on Saturday, so let me just go to church and pass time. But now I've found out that by allocating my own personal time to find out more, it opened up more interesting things for me to look forward to when I go to church.
Yeah. And I want to find out, you make mention, and I want to just find out, is it not a bit unfair, though, to say, you know what, it's on me to see how I get fulfilled at church, and church becomes relevant for me. Because remember, it's easy for the quote-unquote adults, because they usually are the ones in charge. They usually are the ones who can set the programs, who can invite the people that they feel are fulfilling for them. Whereas as young people, sometimes our voice is limited. And I'm just thinking of somebody tuning in and say, but Tando, I hear you. It's easy for you to say perhaps your church is a bit more accommodative. When you say you want this kind of a service, they can allow for that. But for someone who is just, like you're saying, being told, hey, you will come here and you will get this, it's almost like being given food by somebody else, being given clothes by somebody else, being given everything by somebody else, whereas you've got your own taste, you've got your own preference, you've got your own desires. Aren't we being unfair on young people when we say they must just be fulfilled by what they are receiving, whereas perhaps they don't have that much of a voice in deciding what they're receiving?
Okay, in that sense, yeah, then it is like the adults' problem in a partial sense.
It's their fault. I don't know if that's what I was going for, but okay.
Okay. I don't want to point fingers. The only reason why I wanted to point it back to the individual is that, as I mentioned earlier, sure the adults will never, in some churches the adults will never like set out a program where like they make sure the youth is accommodated.
True.
But then that shouldn't allow the youth themselves to find their own means to gather knowledge or something. I'm not sure. Like have their own little group where they have discussions by themselves.
The things that fulfill because them. Okay.
Yes. Because people don't get like sometimes people don't get what they want by waiting. You have to take action. Mm. And yes, you see, with kind of like with my example, it happened because I wanted to find out why am I here.
Okay.
Like, why am I here? Like, it only started with a question. And then I saw that, like, okay, most of the time when I come to church, I've never, like, heard a preaching that tells me why I'm here. So I know if like I go up to the adults and say, yeah, but the preaching never tells us why we're here, they'll just brush me off and be like, all right, kid, calm down. But then I saw that, like, okay, now I need to do this sort of like little study on my own and then find people who are adults but like are more receptive to young people's questions and mentoring young people. Mm-hmm. So it's not everyone who in the, it's not every adult in the church that's like strict and rigid about church manuals and all of that. Like some people are receptive to young people. Mm-hmm. So if like the young people in the church can be able to pinpoint those adults that are receptive to young people, I think that's something they could, like that's somewhere they could start working around the youth being accommodated.
No, thank you so much for that. And I like this idea that you're saying, you know what, you can still do something for yourselves on the side and no one is stopping you from doing that. Perhaps if the main program is not speaking to you, doesn't mean that everything in the day is not speaking to you as well. I wanted to bring, I don't know if you want to say something there on your side, Ian, before we move to say what can then be done before we wrap up our session.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add something. I was at the beginning of this year. I was reading one of our greatest book. It's Light Bearers. It's just another church heritage book, mm-hmm. which tells us about the history of the church, even the history of each and every department. I love it when it goes to the youth department, like how was actually the youth ministry came to life and into action, despite the fact that our pioneers were just young people, even from them until 1990, even after Ellen White has passed away, like to that time, how youth ministry came into action. I read that chapter. I was like, wow, really? The way it started, it was just a young person. If I'm not mistaken, it was just siblings. One was 8, then the other one was 6. They were just, you know, normally old people, they have this tendency when they do serious stuff, they'll be like, no, kids, you know what? Go and rest. The situation was like that. They left those siblings, Baba Shia Bona, on the other side, Bona, Baba Pizinga Log. But you don't know what happened that night. That night, the young people, they said, no, man, angeke silinde abazali ukuthi basitshele ukuthi senze kanjani, yabo, but we will. As long as the heart is recipient, I love this point. The heart is recipient to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not want an old person even if they don't even give you the space. You can do something on your space. Yeah. Love it. It says Bala Pekamele, they started doing something, and from that, that's where youth ministry came to life. Bakala, they invited other young people on the other night. They invited young people on the other night until it became a big group where now they say, no, we're going to start something into a youth ministry. That's how youth ministry came into effect when you study our church.
I love that. Beautiful points there. Thank you so much for that, Ian. And maybe while I still have you on the line, and maybe Tando prepares while a response from your side. This theme for this year, talking about communion in action. I think last year's theme was that a community transformed, I think it was. This year we're talking about communion in action. How has this theme impacted your own relationship with Jesus? Tando, you can, Ian, you can start. If you're speaking, you're muted, Ian. Yeah.
Okay, how the theme has actually spoke to me personally. Mm-hmm. I think I already get, when you ask me what comes into my mind about the theme.
Yeah.
Actually, it's that verse that came. God was speaking to me using that verse to say, no, you know, ukuze qale yonke into for you to reach out to other people. God was saying, I want to have a communion with you first. So personally, God told me this year, yes, in as much as I love sharing to other people, most of the time we like focusing on other people, but we then forget which we have a personal relationship with God as well. In as much as we tend to focus on God, and God was saying, no, Ian, I want to have a communion with you. There's one quotation that I love the most. You would see, show me how much time you spend alone with God. I will tell you how spiritual you are.
Okay.
So that's what the team actually said to me. The team was like, yeah, in as much as you want to go there, but to me, to tell you how spiritual you are, how much time do you spend with me? How much time do we commune, me and you? I'll tell you how spiritual you are. So that's how God reached out to me with this thing.
Amen. Amen. I love it. Tando, on your side?
I think it's also heavily about one's relationship with Christ. And on my side, what I've been grappling with, is like this idea of not having God, of not thinking God is obligated to me because of the things I do for him. For example, early on the year, I was reading the story of Abraham, like Genesis 12 until like Genesis 25, like all those chapters. Yeah, so I was trying to, and then I noticed something very, very profound that in from Genesis 12, like going forward, like each of those chapters, there was something that Abraham lost in order to like preserve God's glory or for God's glory. Like in Genesis 12, he was asked to move like from his native land into a strange land. So he lost his like relatives and family.
Yeah.
And then Genesis 13, he had to separate with Lot. And then it was because Abraham was older and God called Abraham and not Lot. So Abraham had the privilege to choose first which where he wanted to go. But because of God's glory, he allowed Lot to choose, and Lot chose the lands with the grass so that he could feed his cattle, and left Abraham with the rocky mountains. In chapter 14, when Lot was captured by during the battle between the four kings and the five kings, and Abraham had to go and rescue Lot. After winning the battle, Abraham had a right to the spoils, because like back in the day when one army won the war, they were they had the right to take the other army's goods and whatever. And then the king of Sodom came to Abraham and was like, you can take the goods, but then just give me back my people. And Abraham was like, no, I don't want you to say you're the one who made me rich. So he lost his right to those goods for God's glory again.
Mm.
Okay, in chapter 15, he didn't lose anything that much. In chapter 16, Ishmael was born. In chapter 17 is the circumcision covenant. And then, chapter 18 and 19 is Lot's story. Oh, in chapter 21, when Isaac was born, Sarah said to Abraham he should get rid of Ishmael because Ishmael could not grow up in the same environment as Isaac. And then God told Abraham that he shouldn't be sad because of what Sarah said, and that he should definitely let Ishmael go, but God would take care of Ishmael. And then in chapter 22, God is like, okay, now you have one son left. I already like told you to let go of the other son. Kill this one remaining son. So Abraham lost successively, but then still like kept his faith. So I've been trying to grapple with this idea that like when I do something for God, I shouldn't have this idea that he is obligated to me because I did something he asked me to do. So I think that's where most of us as the youth are struggling with our relationship with God, because we treat it like if I do 1, 2, 3 for God,
then
he should do 1, 2, 3 for me. And I think we have to be okay with this idea that even if he, not that God won't, but even if he doesn't do anything for me, I still should be able to sacrifice myself because he is God. I think there's a quote by Ellen White where he says, we should keep the commandments of God and live like according to his word, even if we knew that we won't go to heaven, because like that's the best way to live. So we shouldn't do it we shouldn't do it for returns, but we should do it because like God is God.
And
a Bible verse that comes to mind is Daniel chapter 3, where the three Hebrew boys were standing before Nebuchadnezzar and they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, but if not, let it be known unto thee, O king. So they did not serve God because they knew he would deliver them from the fire. They served God even if he would let them burn in the fire.
Oof, I like that. I like that idea. And thank you for the Bible lesson as well, from the story of Abraham there. What would you want to say to a young person who is tuning in today, an encouragement, call, a charge, if you will, especially with regards to the idea of mission, to the idea of joining Christ, to the idea of being just part of God's family? What would be your final words as we part this evening? Thando. Let's start with Thando. And then Ian, you can then come through and then pray with us as well, Ian. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my parting words to the youth would be to persist and hold on to God, because I know that one of the struggles we face sometimes, as Ian mentioned, most of us are convicted but not committed.
Yeah.
So and I believe the gap between the two is like where Satan deceives us mostly, because when we are convicted, we believe, oh, now I'll never do anything wrong, I'll never disappoint God. And then when you commit one sin, you think, oh, God will never forgive me. And like Satan keeps on imposing those ideas in your mind that like, yeah, you did this one sin, God will never forgive you. So my parting words would be like to hold on, like despite what's happening, like keep going back to God. Not that like you should like allow yourself to sin, but do not let go of God, because he is there for us. And even he said, like, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So let's endure until the end.
Yeah, let's endure until the end. Brother Ian, and then you can then pray with us when you've given your thoughts.
Okay. My closing remarks is that God does not use the perfect people, but he perfects the imperfect. God does not use the qualified people, but he qualifies the unqualified. God is not worried how brave you are. It's a blessing to be brave, how smart you are. That does not concern him, but God is looking for people who are going to be recipients to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Young as you are, fresh as you are, if God was able to use Joseph, young as he was, if God was able to call Isaac, as young as he was, Jacob, young as he was, you read the Bible is full of young people, Daniel and his friends, they were young in Babylon. You come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ uses young people. You go through the dark ages, we see young people. You come into our church, our pioneers, most of them, they were young people. If God was able to use young people, definitely even towards the end of time, he is going to use young people. So avail yourself. Just the recipient, then the Holy Spirit will do the rest.
Mm. Indeed, indeed. Amen, amen. Please pray with us.
Okay. Let us close our eyes. Our dear, kind, and heavenly Father, we thank you for such an opportunity, for such a discussion that we just had, my heavenly Father. It is my prayer, my God, that may it transform us as it transform the people who are listening, my heavenly Father. Above everything, my heavenly Father, since we're living towards the end of time, it is my prayer that may you raise a new batch of young people who be zealous for your work, young people who will understand, my heavenly Father, that there is a lot that heaven can do without us, but there are some things that heaven won't do until it does it through us. So, my heavenly Father, avail most of these young people. Make them understand, my God, that it is not a mistake why you have kept them alive until this far. So use us, my heavenly Father. Give us hearts that are going to be recipients to the power of the Holy Spirit, my heavenly Father. Protect us from the evil one, because we know he's not happy at all, because the truth is, the last phase of the gospel, you will use young people. So he's not happy about us, my heavenly Father. He brings a lot of temptations. He brings a lot of depression. Yeah. He brings a lot of things, my God, to distance us from the mission that you have called us to accomplish. My heavenly Father, may you give us power to overcome those obstacles that the devil is placing before us. Help us, my heavenly Father, not to see the challenges, but to see the God who's above the challenges, remembering that heaven is where you want us to be at the end of the day. So be with us, my Heavenly Father, in a very special way. Bless us. We ask for this in a wonderful name of our soon coming King and our big brother, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much, guys. I really, really want to appreciate you. Thank you, Tando. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Derek. And thank you, Ian.
Uncle Tando.
Thank you, guys. Have a blessed Sabbath further and continue keeping on as young people, right? Thank you.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. And that's how we're then going to be drawing to the close, my dear friends, this evening, as we appreciate each and every one of you for joining us right here on the Adventist World Radio's Youth Perspective. What a powerful and honest conversation. It's clear that this idea of Global Youth Day, the Youth Week of Prayer, they're more than just dates on the calendar. No, no, no. They're an invitation to our young people, right? An invitation to live out our faith and to serve intentionally, to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and with each other. A relationship that is not just professed, is not just lip service, but is seen in action. The question is no longer, is it relevant, but rather, how will you respond? To every young person who joined us this evening, your faith matters, your voice matters, your role in God's mission. Not only does it matter, it's imperative, it's irreplaceable. So until next time, stay rooted, stay engaged, and keep the fire burning. Keep keeping on.
Questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.